Hi, you're listening to PSG Lopes, also known as the Moonlit Goddess. Today is Thursday, February 7th, 2019. I know I'm a day early with my podcast, but I have a surprise for my listeners. Today I decided to do an interview with the lovely Amanda Lynn Baez. She is a comedian. She is a writer. And I wanted to highlight a female working toward an industry that's very tough to get into. And what is also amazing is that she is a former student of mine, and I really love highlighting success stories. And I wanted to talk to Amanda, and I wanted you guys to get to know her a little bit, to know what she's all about. I'm very proud and impressed with everything that she does, and I hope that you guys enjoy this interview. I'm just going to go right ahead. Hello, Amanda. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm going to dive right in. Why don't you tell the listeners what you do exactly?
I'm a full-time college student. I major in theater and comedy, a minor in film studies. But aside that, I do stand-up comedy on the side in New York and New Jersey. And I write a lot. And yeah, that's pretty much what I do.
That's wonderful. How did you get into comedy writing and performing?
Oh, man, that's such a long answer. I mean, ever since I could remember, so probably like 5 years old, I've always been interested with SNL and Saturday Night Live and comedy sketches. And, you know, at 5 years old, I didn't understand the jokes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I would always watch with my dad, and I just found it so interesting how every punch-up these actors had just made the audience laugh. And I was just so attracted to that and curious as to how that worked. So, ever since I was 5, just watching SNL pretty much, and I was just so interested within comedy and the formula of how to make people laugh. And I always knew I was naturally funny, so one day, as I got older, I was watching stand-up comedy routine from, one of them was Ellen DeGeneres, Pete Davidson, Russell Peters, and I was just like, how do these people get up there? Like, how do I do that? So I just started, Googling open mics, and I noticed sometimes you had to pay to do open mics, and I looked up free open mics because I'm a college student and I have no money to just give off just to stand up on a stage. So I looked for open mics, and one day some guy noticed me and started booking me shows in the city, and I constantly started writing my own jokes and practicing. And yeah, that's how it pretty much all started.
That's fantastic. Here's a question for you. What challenges have you faced being a woman in the comedic field?
Oh my gosh. Whenever I do a show, I notice there's rarely... sometimes I am the youngest in the group of comics, comedians that are performing that night or that are booked. So a lot of them are older men and, yeah, pretty much just... some males or most males look at females as if like a challenge. They're just like, oh, I wonder if this woman really is funny, you know? So that's basically just...
Have you ever been heckled?
Oh my God, yeah, of course.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I mean...
How do you handle that?
I don't want to say of course, like all the time it happens, but
no, yeah.
There's people that get a little too carried away with drinking and they'll say... I had this one guy tell me, oh, take off your clothes or something like that.
How do you redirect that?
Oh, restate, because I'm the one on the mic, so I'm the one everyone's looking at.
Yes.
So I'm going to make this person feel like an idiot and still have the audience on my side.
Okay.
So I repeat what that person has said, and there I repeat, and then right away I just have a... comeback automatically.
That's great.
The beauty of comedy, as a comedian, you just have to know, you have to analyze what they're saying real quick and just have something spew out. And that's basically what I do, and I make them feel belittled. And it works. The audience laughs, so I kind of like, I'm like, thank you. I used you as a tool, you know, to have
good.
A little punch up.
Good for you.
In my routine.
Good. That's a real good attitude to have. Our culture now is very sensitive, and it's very easy for a joke to be misconstrued or for people to be offended. How do you combat that, and how do you think of that when you're writing your material? Like, is there any topic that's off topic for you, like that you're not going to write about? Or do you feel like as a comedian that you feel like you're obligated to uncensor yourself and just address anything.
I feel like the art of comedy is, you can find comedy in anything and everything. So I try not to limit myself when it comes to jokes. It really depends on your delivery of your routine and the jokes you are talking about. So, I mean, it's hard to, I tend to do edgy comedy, which is really hard to execute, but I seem to do it pretty well because they see me as a little small brown girl, and I can just say whatever I want because I just make it, I have the audience on my side. Once I know they're absolutely on my side, then I'm like, damn, I can joke about really anything and try to make it as funny as possible, whatever subject it may be. Okay. So it can be a little challenging, but I practice constantly in front of my friends or at open mics, and seems to work out for me.
There's one joke that I saw that you did that made me laugh because I found it relatable on the teacher's perspective.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about how it was for you in elementary school with your Spanish language teacher.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Do you want to tell the audience or the listeners about that joke?
Yeah, oh my god.
I laughed heartily with that one. Legit laugh. It was really funny.
Oh man, this is one of my first routines I ever written with stand-up. So I thought I was, when I was a kid, my parents traveled a lot, and I was born in Texas. My dad was in the military.
Okay, never knew that.
So I was born in Texas. And right away, we moved to Germany, and we lived there for, like, 5 years,
wow,
like, three,
that's
four
incredible.
Or 5 years. And after Germany, we moved to probably the whitest town in New Jersey, Parsippany. So I was six at the time, or 5 years old at the time, so I was very conflicted with who I was, because my family's so Americanized, too, and I was always raised around, you know, these Caucasians, and I'm like, well, I know I'm not white, you know what I mean? So I was just, one day I was taking a Spanish class, it was first grade, Spanish teacher walks in and it's some, you know, Caucasian woman teaching us Spanish, so I'm like, okay, that doesn't help, but as I'm learning, she discusses the country Mexico and how Mexico speaks Spanish and how Mexico eats rice and beans and tacos and all that, and I'm just like sitting there as a six-year-old, oh my god, my family speaks Spanish. Oh my god, I eat rice and beans. Oh my god, mom buys Taco Bell. Like, I eat tacos. I'm definitely Mexican. And I'm like so, I'm so sure enough that I was Mexican that I just told everyone that I was as a six-year-old little girl. And then just like, I guess down the road, like a year later, my mom's just like, "What? We're not Mexican. We're Puerto Rican. What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, like that's embarrassing." But nothing wrong with Mexico, but that
definitely was my favorite. I've watched a few that you have posted, but it just resonated with me with you talking about like a white woman teaching the Spanish language, and I've subbed for a Spanish language teacher, and I felt the same thing. I was like, who am I to represent this? And I do notice that there is a focus on Mexico, and I liked hearing from your perspective and to hear what your thoughts were with that. So that really resonated with me, and I really enjoyed listening to that joke that you told.
And I felt like it was very lighthearted when I joked about it, because that whole you know, when Trump won a presidency and everything, and about Mexico and the wall and all that. So I just wanted to make it lighthearted as possible and discuss that, how I thought I was Mexican when I was five.
It was definitely, in my opinion, well received. I really enjoyed that. That was, I was like, oh, this woman has something. And I was very impressed. And I remember that being one of the first videos I saw of yours. And I was like, wow, this is incredible.
Thank you so much.
On to the next question. Do you have any aspirations to write comedy for television or movies in the future?
Oh my god, of course. I sometimes feel like I don't know if I'll ever fully take that route, whether like if I don't want to say I want to stop doing stand-up. I want to keep going, obviously. But I wouldn't mind writing for a late night show, for Seth Meyers or Jimmy Fallon or any SNL skits, like sketches, because I have taken a comedy sketch class with one of my, she's a mentor of mine, Lexi Collenbaker, and she's just amazing. And she taught us the formula and how to write it out and just kind of get creative with it. And I learned so much from that. And I had one comedy sketch that I wrote out, performed at the university.
Okay.
So it was like 5 minutes long, but it still was something. So definitely I'm very open to that. I love writing. And
now, do you feel more comfortable behind the scenes as a writer, or do you see yourself more, like you were saying, like doing the stand-up? Do you see yourself like becoming an actress? Like, mm-hmm. or do you have aspirations to go to Hollywood? Like, what do you see yourself long-term?
I see myself long-term. I definitely love being on stage or okay. in front of a camera.
So that's where you feel?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love writing about it, but I definitely love, you know, acting it out. And performing. Long term, I feel like I do see myself working for, whether it's Comedy Central or working for my own comedy special on Netflix or something like that. I would love to be a part of that. Or I would love to work for Kristen Wiig or Amy Poehler, all those amazing females.
That's awesome. Okay. What are your plans? I know that you're going to graduate soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans directly after college? Do you know where you're headed after? Or?
I was considering very, very late. Like, I even missed the deadline I was thinking about getting my master's at NYU
okay.
or New York Film Academy for film, because I do minor in film and I'm very interested with knowing a lot more about film. So, but I missed the deadline, so maybe next year I might consider it. I'm not quite sure, but right now I just, I just started applying for a lot of internships in the city, whether it's in the city or it's on the West Coast.
Okay.
So I applied for NBC,
oh,
for
awesome.
Jimmy Fallon,
awesome.
For Seth Meyers, like I mentioned before. For a lot of their film stuff under NBC. They had a lot of internships running for the spring and the summer.
Okay.
So I applied for that. I applied for Vice, which is a really, really cool informative channel. And I applied for Comedy Central as well as Adult Swim. So I heard back from Vice recently. And funny thing is, they didn't mention the internship. They asked me for, because they saw I acted on the resume and stuff like that. So they asked me to be a part of a show, a pilot.
Oh.
For a dating show.
Oh, my God, that's exciting. Mm-hmm.
So I had just had an interview last week with one of the producers, and she was really cool, and I feel like she really liked me. So I'm just like, these people, I feel like they know I'm lonely, I guess. So they want to be in a dating show. And I'm like, okay, sure, I don't mind. So they're asking me all these questions. And so who knows, maybe Vice would be. Vice is looking.
That would be
really,
an incredible break for you. That would be awesome for sure.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. What was your best experience performing on stage, and what was your worst experience performing on stage so far?
Oh my God. Okay, so I'll go with the worst. So the worst was actually a couple weeks ago. I booked a show, and I just booked it because I've never performed at Broadway Comedy Club until
okay.
that night. That was my first time.
Okay.
And oh my God, I just was not ready. Like, I had I had material, like recycled jokes that I used, but I wanted to use new material, and I just wasn't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely always be prepared. Don't ever improvise when you're up on stage, unless you're a genius. But a lot of comedians don't really improvise unless asked to, unless it's an event where it's like, oh, it's an improv mic, go and say what you gotta say. I feel like I'd be more comfortable with that, but
Now, how do you handle a situation like that? Like, if you're up there and you're mm-hmm. not fully prepared, like, how do you prepare and like, do you walk out of stage? Like,
oh my God, no, I don't
okay.
walk out. I am not a baby. I'm up on that stage. I'm like using my awkwardness as a joke, like try to make these people laugh with how awkward I am. So they're laughing at me, and I'm on stage really crying in my head, and they're laughing.
Okay,
and thinking, okay.
So the audience is they take it well. Like,
yeah,
they're
like,
supportive.
Mm-hmm, but
okay.
still, I'm just like, I did so shitty. I'm like, what the hell? How are these people laughing at me? Well, they're laughing. Yeah, they're not laughing with me. They're laughing at me. But that was my worst, because I never really get nervous on stage, and I felt I was nervous that night.
And was it packed that night?
Yes, it was very packed. And the audience was kind of like, just sometimes the audience can be sucky. Like the energy will be really meh.
It's hard to like grab their attention.
Yeah, especially with like the host and everything, because it's the vibe you give off. It's like, you know, so I just felt like it was very...
There was a disconnect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was my worst. My best, though, oh my gosh, I wrote some new material, some new edgy stuff, and a lot of my friends came out, and the place was sold out. The performance was sold out. And my grandma was there, so I definitely used...
Nice.
Yeah, it was really nice that she came out, and I definitely used her as one of my jokes, and it just worked out amazingly. Like, every joke I had was punch up, people were laughing.
Oh, that's very cool.
Like, people were clapping, and when people give you clapbacks, that just shows, like, what you're saying is extremely the truth, like, extremely relatable. So I had a lot of those, and... Especially guys, like when men comment on you out loud. This guy was just like, "What the hell?" Like, this girl just said that. Like, and they're laughing. So I felt like I executed it so well, and it was the best performance I'd had so far.
Well, that's awesome.
So
very cool. When you're preparing your comedy routines and your writing,
mm-hmm.
who do you have anyone in mind as an inspiration? Like, I know you mentioned a few comedians that you were inspired by. Is there mm-hmm. anyone in particular, like, that you want to model yourself after when you're writing? Like, do you have anyone in mind, or do you really just like stray away from other routines and try to be as like creative and different and stand out from others?
Believe it or not, I kind of look up to Ellen Page a little bit.
Okay.
Like, I love Juno. I love those, not Juno wasn't really an indie film, but it was one of those, like, dry, dark, I guess not that dark, but, like, those comedies that were very, like, dry and to the point. So I seem to go to that kind of comedy route. I love being dry and edgy and just, like, straight to the point. Like, people don't expect what's going to come out of my mouth. So I definitely look up to Ellen Page. She's really awkward.
Yeah.
And quirky, and I love that. And I also love, as I mentioned before, Kristen Wiig. She's just so... It's that kind of... Oh, my God. With SNL and Target Lady and just... oh, my God. I look up to them the most.
Okay.
Yeah. That's awesome. I try to incorporate that into my routines.
Very cool. All right, we talked about the topics that you address. Okay, my platform is usually very feminism-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel that your path is paving the way for other females like yourself to enter a similar creative field?
Oh, yeah. Especially in the generation we live in today's society, I feel like when girls see me up there, they're like, wow, I can do that.
Okay.
You know? So I've had people come up to me, even guys are like, wow, keep going. Like this guy, this other comedian that's been doing it for like 30 years came up to me and he was like, you're really good. Like, you're a really good female comedian. Like, keep it up. And then I feel like, yeah, in a way, females do kind of, I don't say look up to me, but I'm like a good example. After their dreams.
So you're presenting yourself like a role model, like mm-hmm. for others to aspire to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter how old you are or where you came from or whether you're a man or female, just do what you think is right. You only have this one life to live. Why not do something you truly care about?
Yeah, that's great. What advice would you give other women that are trying to start out as a comedian? Like, like thinking about all of the mistakes that you made and everything that you've done right,
mm-hmm.
What advice would you give for someone who's kind of like on the fence and they're not sure if this is something that they should pursue or not?
My advice? If you feel like you want to do it, just go for it. Just go to open mics. Constantly write your jokes. What I do, I always have a little notebook. I actually have it right now in my purse. This little guy here. I literally write all my jokes. Anything you find funny, you write it down. Because I'm very observant. So I'll be in the park, or I'll be in this cafe that we're in right now, or I'm constantly writing something that's happened in front of me that I found hilarious. So for anyone trying to be a stand-up comedian, definitely write funny things around you, because you're not going to keep all that in your head and remember.
Yeah, even as a writer with me too, with my books and stuff, if I don't write down the idea,
it's gonna, you're gonna lose it, or it's gonna come back in like 2 months from now, and you're like, what did I need that for? So definitely have a notebook, and definitely look up open mics in your area and just go for it. Just have a set list, write big words that'll make you remember your routine, because comedians still use set lists, when even big performers, when they don't remember, they'll have a little piece of paper on them just in case, so they don't lose track. So, yeah, that's my word of advice.
Oh, very nice. Tell your listeners, when's your next show? Where can people see you if they're interested?
My next show tomorrow, actually. My next show is tomorrow at 10 o'clock, Broadway Comedy Club.
In New York City,
In New York City, yeah. Okay. Right above Times Square. And my next show is the week after. So February 15th, day after Valentine's Day, I have another show. Well, same time, 10 o'clock, Broadway Comedy Club. And March 23rd? At 6 o'clock, Greenwich Village Comedy Club. Ooh, I'll be hosting.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
Yeah, so that's my first hosting gig. And I like the guy that I'm working with, so I feel like I'm going to execute it pretty well.
Okay.
And I love doing crowd work. So that's basically what hosting is. You're talking to the audience.
Oh, so you're like getting them going to prepare them
for
the acts.
So I'm really good at that. So okay. I'm very excited to start hosting, and it's going to be my first time. So if you guys want to see me, yeah, host. That's March 23rd, Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Very cool. If people are interested in learning more about you, where can people find you on Instagram and Facebook? What is the best way for people to reach you to?
Yeah, you can definitely reach me on Instagram. It's literally my whole name. So it's Amanda Lynn Baez. That's Amanda Lynn Baez, Baez. Just my whole name put in one on Instagram. And just for the government, you know, just look where I am. Facebook, yeah, I have because I've done acting in the past, and I still do acting. I just done a independent horror film back in September, and it's going to be out in July.
And you've been hiding this whole time.
Sorry.
All right. You got to tell us more about this.
I will. But yeah, that on Facebook, Amanda Lynn Baez, again, but it's like, I think I put two Z's at the end because apparently someone took my name. I don't know. But it's my acting page. Yeah, right?
How dare they?
How dare they take my name? I'm the only cool Amanda Lynn Baez.
All right, so I want to backtrack a bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so aside from the comedy and the stand-up, you are also a writer and you're doing a film, you said?
Yeah, I did. I did a film. I did an independent horror film, which actually got picked up.
Tell me more. Woo!
Yeah, it got picked up by distribution. I don't know who. I didn't really ask the director, but he was like, yeah, someone picked it up, and it's going to be on DVD. It's going to be streaming on this website, that. I forgot the names because I'm just so busy with comedy, but I'm like, oh, yeah.
Do you have an agent? Did someone set this up for you?
No.
How did this come about?
This is honestly network like crazy. I will eventually get an agent or a manager in the near future. Right now, I'm just so busy with school that once I graduate in May, so once I graduate and I figure everything out, I'll start looking into agencies, because I do have friends that are in acting. They have an agent or they have managers. All I have is really an assistant, and she's actually my best friend.
Aww.
But she gets shit done. I don't know if you know Ariel. You know Ariel Baeza?
Yes, 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 her. Yes, yes. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. She's amazing. She gets everything done. She makes me look good. She makes sure everything's planned out. Even for my birthday, we're going snowboarding.
And that's so cool.
She's like, okay, where, what time, who's coming? I'm like, okay, Mom.
Yeah,
so she's great.
I don't have an agent either. Yeah. My sister helps me with everything.
Yeah,
I would be nowhere without my sister. She does everything for me.
Oh, my God. My sister Monica will, oh, God, I can't. She can't help me for crap. She cannot. Oh my God. We joke sometimes. She'll be there. And then she's like, all right, get out of my room. I'm like, okay. I'm sorry. But yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's very helpful.
Oh, that's great. Well, it was wonderful interviewing you, and I'm so thrilled that you got to be my first interview.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It feels so good to, meet up again and discuss my future, your future, with your writing and stuff like that, which I'm really proud of you about your book.
Thank you very much.
And so I'm going to treasure this book forever.
For the listeners, I gave Amanda my very first Dark Musings poetry anthology. It was my first volume that came out in 2017. Actually, on that note, I do have a surprise for the listeners. My third poetry anthology is going to be released tomorrow on Amazon, paperback and Kindle edition.
Ah, yay!
Yeah, so that was definitely a labor of love. That is what I did all through the month of January. It was very full steam ahead. I worked really hard on that. And I feel like I lost a lot in 2018, and I feel like I have my momentum back, and I'm very happy that things are going well for me in that regard. And I'm already working on my next piece, so I'm not wasting any time. So in the future, I'm trying to get a virtual launch party going for the new anthology. So you guys will hear more about that in the next coming weeks as I set that up. So that's something going on in my life. So thank you, Amanda, for...
Yeah, thank you. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my God. You. The future is female. It's 2019, okay?
Yes.
We're all going to get our shit together. And
absolutely.
Just get stuff done.
Absolutely. And on that note, another thing that I want to mention, if anyone who is listening that is interested in also being interviewed for my podcast, I am really big on featuring other females, either female entrepreneurs or females entering fields that are very competitive and very male-centric. I am very pleased to have Amanda here and talk about the struggles of being a comedian, especially in a male-dominating world. But we have so many wonderful female comedians that pave the way for people like Amanda to come out and to follow her dreams. And she came up with a great point that your dreams can be realized at any age, and there's nothing stopping us but ourselves, really. Mm-hmm. And we really can keep going, and we just need to believe in ourselves. We don't need to listen to the negativity around us. If it's something that you really want to strive towards, that really, the sky's the limit with the things that you want to set.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to another week of podcast. Once again, I am PSG Lopes, also known as the Moonlit Goddess, and I am here today with Miss Amanda Lynn Baez. Thank you so much.